You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Investigating interactions with our surroundings and society.
Every week we discuss our experience with these interactions, how they emerge, and the impacts of these invisible forces. Hey, this is Double Space.
With Kat
and Tintin.
And we're going to talk about space, society, and what it means to be walking around on this earth the way we do.
Hello, and welcome to Double Space. Today, Kat and I will be talking about teenage years, our personal experiences being a teen, and teen culture with a special guest, Kat's younger brother, David, who is a teenager in high school himself. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hi, Kat.
Hi.
And this is Double Space. Welcome. Okay.
And that's a wrap. Good job, everyone.
Stop. We would like to acknowledge that we're broadcasting on the unceded land of the Coast Salish and Musqueam people.
CITR 101.9 FM.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory. Learn how to get involved at CITR.ca.
Thunderstorms, see the lightning.
That is made from cartography of me. All those feelings every day, the bus stop was the size of the entire world. The ball I broke your tears and carving at me all the time was I had done you wrong. I hope I'm sorry. Certain times in our lives come to take up more space than others. And time's gonna take its time. The candy said I broke in over the summer. Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back. That was a new song by The Broken Social Scene, which, if you don't know, make a really great angsty cry song called Anthems of a 17-Year-Old Girl. Or is it just 17-Year-Old?
I think it's a 17-Year-Old.
I think it is as well. I kind of projected my own
lived experience onto it.
Onto it, yeah. But we should, Tintin and I hope to make a a playlist soon of our favorite angsty songs / formative songs. Yes. So look for that on our website, doublespaceshow.wordpress.com, I believe is what it is.
Correct.
Yeah, check it out for digital content.
Anyway, let us begin with our conversation about high school.
Yes. So before we get... Before we get into it, actually, just an explanation of why we're talking about this. We wanted to explore the space that you are in and inhabit and just exist in when you're a teenager.
Yes, and who better to talk about it than a teenager himself, as I have formally exited my teenage years about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, got a 2 in front of the other digit instead of a 1.
That really sucks. I'm sorry, Tintin.
That's okay. I'm there with Kat, too, so it's fine.
Thanks for your solid content, David.
Anyway, I guess this is just a really good time for us to, like, reflect on our incredible, albeit now over, so fleeting teenage years. I guess, like, I don't know, what was growing up like as a teenager in California like for you, Kat?
For me, like, when I think of teenager, I just think of emotions, just so many emotions. Everything is so, like, strong. Like, you just feel everything. You don't know what to do with things, and, like, you're very hopeful for the future. But you don't know exactly what it's going to be like.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time as a teenager just, like, wishing that I wasn't, like, a teenager. Or, like, not
Me
wishing
too.
That I was a teenager, but, like, wishing that I wasn't, like, 13 or, like, 14 or, like, 15. And then just, like, when I turned 18, I was like, this is all right. And then I got older and older, and then I was like, whoa, all right. Keeps going.
I do get that. It's like when you're younger, you're like, oh, when I'm 16, I'm going to drive and I'm going to be cool.
Yeah.
And then you're 16, you're like, this sucks.
Yeah, like, I have
Sorry,
my
David.
License now, but I don't have a car anymore. Like, yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah,
but.
And you're just, like, moody. And then you get to about, like, college age, and you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I feel like so much of that, like, chilling out occurs over, like, such a short period of time where you're, like, everything is, like, drama times, like, 9,000, and then, like, you just leave home, and you're like, oh, like... All right.
You're like, okay, like, laundry.
That's dramatic.
That's, like, that's a thing that you do that makes you an adult, and you get to do cool things as an adult, but laundry, you have to do it. Like, that to me is so adult.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, paying rent.
Yeah. It's not amazing, but you do it.
Yeah. I think, like, leaving your teenage years has a lot to do with, like, putting up with stuff. Just, like, putting up with, like, chores and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully we, like, won't become too complacent. But I don't think we will.
We'll see.
I like to think we're pretty non-complacent people.
Thank you, Kat. I'd like to think that about myself, too. And you.
And where it counts. Where it counts.
True. So, David, as our resident in-studio teenager...
Don't move.
What is it like to be a teenager, and what do you find yourself gravitating towards as a teenager? Like, what pulls your interest as a 15-year-old today
in
the world?
I think it's trends. That's definitely what everyone follows. And then,
oh my God, he's like so in touch. He just knows what's going.
This is my podcast.
Sorry. There's like some
keep going
like sibling banter that I don't understand how to interact with.
It's just going to be like part of the way you have to understand this podcast. So the context of this podcast is we are siblings and we're going to banter and it's going to be like so painful, but we like have to do it. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Continue as you were, David.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay, what?
Oh my God.
What pulls your interest and like what is hot as a teenager today in the world?
Music usually. There's certain.
I wasn't.
Music never gets old.
No one prepped me for this section, and I'm just being tossed a bone, and nope.
Just riff, David. Just riff. You're doing good.
Is it too early for fidget spinners?
No, go for it. You said trends.
It's fidget spinners.
Fidget spinners, dog.
Yeah. Got the little chrome ones that are rainbow color.
Jesus.
Got little plastic ones.
When they first started, I didn't think they were actually a thing. Like, I was like, oh, I bet, like, you know, like, young kids and, like, certain kids, like, outside of school probably, like, play with them. But I forgot about school and, like, the ramifications of, like, being in a place for like all of the day and how poignant in society fidget spinners are and how relevant they are. Mm-hmm. And the two together equal fidget spinners at school, making them spread like wildfire.
It's so funny though, because when I saw them, it was like on Instagram or like Facebook or something, and I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It just looks so ridiculous. And then to actually see people like who are younger than me, like truly fully use them and like trade them and stuff. And like, you know, compare fidget spinners, like, yo, I got like this one, or like, you got that one, like, mind-blowing. I'm like not a part of like youth culture. I'm like no longer in touch.
Imagine relating to a fidget spinner unboxing video on YouTube.
Oh my God.
Being like, yeah.
I'm like not there.
Being like, I hope this fidget spinner works out for them.
I chose this fidget spinner because of the plating and also because of the weight, the aerodynamics of the fidget spinner.
It has really advanced ball bearings. It's really well greased.
No disrespect to anyone who uses fidget spinners. I just think that the fidget spinner culture is a little whack right now.
I feel like the majority of fidget spinners that I have ever seen in my life have been accompanied with like a huge cloud of vape smoke, which is another just like uncredulous tool. And just together, it's just like, it's just very, it just really makes you,
cool.
It just really makes you a very like unreliable source on many regards.
Well, we have kids that sneak vape into class using fidget spinners and they vape in the back.
Are you serious? Kids vape?
Yeah. Oh,
vape at school?
Vaping's a huge thing. They're not allowed to, but they do it.
Oh my God.
Like on the bus, they'll do like a huge hit and then they'll like blow it into the fan so it goes everywhere.
But why do they think that's like a cool thing? That's still like annoying.
I think it's a replacement for smoking.
Right. No, I know, but like, David, I'm aware. But
I think it like vaporizes the liquid, so that's why it's called them.
And you can spin it while you're fidgeting, so it's called a...
What if they made a vape that was a fidget spinner?
Well, we'd like to patent that right now.
This is useless content. Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's wild, though, that kids vape. Because smoking, in general, is, like, a very taboo, especially in California, where there's a bunch of... There's, like, so much money put towards stopping smoking, and it's just, like, a huge thing to, like, smoking in California is a big deal. So to have kids that smoke was, like, they were a very select breed, and it smelled really bad, and they had to do it in certain places. But vapes are so much more, like, concealable and innocuous, I guess, in terms of, like, the smoke smells like artificial flavoring as opposed to, like, cigarette smoke. And so it can get in more places, I suppose.
Well, usually the bathroom doesn't smell like cotton candy, so that's usually a good indicator.
But it's like pleasant, like more so than like gross tobacco.
But going back to that, I feel like smoking in the bathroom is like such an essential like teen thing. Like it's just like a classic like bad teen sort of thing.
Yeah, but how much more cool is it to like smoke in the bathroom than to like vape in the bathroom? Like one is like maybe has like something cool there, and then the other one is just like Chad, what are you doing? Get out of the bathroom, Chad.
You need to go to a well-ventilated place. Get out of the bathroom. We're trying to pee.
Well, actually, what happens is when someone vapes, they have to shut down the bathroom. So on 420, they tried vaping in every single bathroom and get them all closed.
No, David, that's not the truth.
I guess that's what happens when you have, like, infinite time on your hands. Like, all another thing I think about when I think of teenagers is just like a lot of time.
Oh my god, so much free time.
Because you have like a bit of freedom, but you also have like an accessible amount of like just so much time.
Here's the thing about like being a teenager is that like there's so much free time and you can cultivate your personality using that free time. Like you can choose what things you decide to read or like what things you decide to watch. And like that is where you have formative years because you have so much free time.
Also, you can choose to use that time to devise a plan to fill every bathroom in the school with a person vaping on 420.
I mean, someone's got to do it.
To each their own.
Right.
You know, vape niche to the end, as the cool kids say, Kat.
As you say.
Well, I was trying to segue into just like formative content and like how being a teenager just lends itself to just becoming like your own person.
I mean, yeah, you're so volatile at that age and you're really like accepting. You're such a sponge.
Yeah, you just like take stuff in.
But you're also a very selective sponge. I think that people don't give teenagers quite enough credit in that like they can see something and be like, I don't like that. You know, like they can be selective, but they still are a sponge in that they see something and they're like, I want to be like that and absorb it, which is beautiful in a way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I just feel like when I was younger, I looked at things with like a lot of like hope almost. Like I wasn't as jaded, obviously, but any movie that I watched, there was like the potential for it to be like a life-changing film or like just any like album that I listened to. I was like, oh my god, this is like my next favorite album. Like I was so like willing to like accept something as like this is like it for me. Like I don't know if that makes any sense, but
that does make sense to me. One of the more formative movies for me was Juno. Like when I have to pick, if I have to pick one movie that formed me, it was easily Juno. And I think as I've gotten older, I've seen that movie is a lot more about the relationships of each character and kind of like, oh, it's weird that, you know, the husband is like flirting with her. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like,
I totally forgot about that.
I didn't even pick that up. I thought he was just trying to, like, be nice to her. And then she was surprised when he said he was leaving Vanessa. And I thought that she, like, inspired him to, like, be his youthful self and to, like, live out his, like, youthful dreams. And she was like, no, you can't do that. You have to, like, be a man. But it's like, no, he is leaving Vanessa because he wants to be with you, which is super messed up because you're in high school.
True. Very true. There's a lot of like not realizing how weird like relationships are like that are depicted in like movies and stuff until like later in life when you're like, oh, like you're definitely like a high school kid and you're definitely like an adult.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that it's a lot about like just the classic case of like not having a word for something so you don't like pick up on it, I guess, in a way. I mean, as a high schooler, I was like, oh, well, I saw Juno was older than me, so I was like, oh, there's two, like, people that are older than me that are talking, and things are, you know, everything is worth face value, and things like that. But for me, it was none of that, like, complicated stuff, which makes the story of Juno so intriguing to an adult, but I was just entranced with Ellen Page playing Juno. For those who haven't seen the movie, it's just about a high schooler who gets pregnant and she's like cool and quirky and she gives it to this family and one, the guy that is in the family is a creep.
Mm-hmm.
basically. But Ellen Page is really cool. She's like, she's not normal, but she's still accepted, you know? Like, nobody bullies her, per se. There's one guy that, like, pushes her books down or whatever, and is like, what are you reading or whatever. But then it's like, oh, but, like, he secretly loves me, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's just, like, this really, like, cool and really beloved, like, female character who just, like, is just cool. I also really like that she was so, like, counterculture, you know?
True.
Like, I just liked that she provided this avenue of what I could be that wasn't, like, someone who was, I don't know, like, into Juicy and, like, Hollister and, like, brand name clothes, or someone that didn't care at all and looked frumpy and, like, ugly and didn't have interests, you know? First of all, there are so many different ways that a woman can identify, and there's so many different types of people that you can be in the world. And, I mean, Juno was really someone who just liked music, liked art, was into all of that, was very open-minded. She dressed, like, pretty cool. She wore, like, stripes. I like stripes.
Stripes are good.
Tintin's wearing stripes right now.
I know. And they're not the horizontal kind. They're the vertical kind.
The vertical kind. Mm-hmm. Tasteful.
Very tasteful. Yes. Yeah, while you're talking about just alternative representations of, like, what you could grow up to be, I found that that was a really, like, it was very important for me because, like, I had no real, like, baseline as to what I could eventually, like, become if it weren't for, like, TV and books and, like, movies. When I think about that, I just think of, like, Summer from 500 Days of Summer, because I wanted to be her because she seemed so cool and she was such a mysterious, like, girl. Like, I remember there's this one part of the movie where she's, like, talking about her experience in college, and she was I think she dated a musician named Charlie, and Charlie, you're led to believe that Charlie's a guy or, like, a male-bodied person, but then Charlie's a girl. And I think that was, like, maybe one of the first times I was like, whoa, like, bisexuality is real, or, like, that's possible.
That moment was so important. I totally forgot about that, but just to provide some context.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, a very excited flurry, and I love it, but just to back it up a little. So we're talking about 500 Days of Summer, which was a movie which came out in, I'm going to say, 2008.
Yeah,
why not?
Probably.
Close enough. And it stars Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which are two very cute, very... That was really when quirky was, like, at its quirkiest and was, like, about to, like, explode.
Yeah, just, like, out of the cuteness.
Just, like, too much concentrated quirkiness in the world.
Jesus.
Anyway.
We can't all handle Zooey Deschanel's bangs.
We truly cannot. Mm-mm. They're going to push all of us out into the atmosphere.
off the plane.
Call back.
Throwback. Okay, anyway.
Basically, in the movie, if you haven't seen it, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, like, hanging out and, like, hooking up with this girl. She's really cute. She's, like, super interesting. They get along super well. They like the Smiths, which is this really, like, cosmic and deep reason that they should be together. It's
sarcasm.
Really fun. Sarcasm. Very heavy sarcasm. And, in that moment, he's finding out about all the people that she's dated. And in that montage of that movie, they flash a picture of what each of the people looked like, supposedly. Like, she says a name and then a picture would pop up of just a person. And, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, I dated this person named Charlie who was in a band or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And up pops a picture of a woman.
Yeah, and that was actually really significant to me, like, definitely, as I said, like, one of the first times it was like, wow, like, bi representation, or just, like, not heterosexual, like, female relationships, female-bodied relationships.
I love that. I remember when I first saw it, I was, like, so confused because I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And I think that shows to, like, how groundbreaking it was, I want to say.
Yeah. And, like, embarrassingly how, like, if it says that that was, like, the first moment I was ever, like, awoken to, like, the concept of, like, a female person or, like, a female-identifying person as, like, bisexual, I guess it says something about, like, the kinds of content that I consumed that was very, like, and I'm sure, like, very heteronormative, very, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and, I mean, I think that people, that, like, when we were younger, we understood the concept of, like, bisexuality and, like, lesbianism, but we didn't see it represented at all. So the thought of an actual character in a movie or a book or what have you actually being some sort of queer, like, to see that represented was like, wait, is this, did someone mess up?
Yeah, I think the first thing, my first inclination was to be like, oh, like, I'm confused. Like, it wasn't like, oh, like, mm-hmm. I understand. It was like, all right, like, I'll just not think about that for right now. Yeah.
My thought was like, oh, was it just like brief or something? Or was it just like, I don't know, just a quick thing? Or I was even just like, oh, were they like really good friends? It's like, no,
nuh-uh. Sweetie. But I'm going to turn on to David and ask you now. As a teenager in 2017, today, what kinds of content are you consuming that you think kind of informs your opinion on what you want to be or like who you look up to?
I'd probably go with Donald Glover.
And why would you choose him?
He's pretty spread out in the field of arts. He's got a lot of different abilities that he's able to do really well.
The man's a rapper. He's an actor. He's a comedian.
That is true. He does all those very well, I think.
Yeah. That's cool because I don't know if you've seen Atlanta, David. Have you?
Yeah, I watched one episode.
Okay. See, I haven't seen it yet either, to be honest, but like I've heard that it does a really good job depicting like just different kinds of like masculinities as well and just like you know, like people of color, like masculinities and stuff as well, which is interesting.
I think that's such a good reason to look up to someone. Like, that's so much more, well, I mean, I guess my looking up to Juno is like valid, but I really like that David is actually looking up to, like, because he's not in the room anymore. It's just me and Tintin. He's not here, so I'm just going to describe him. That's a joke. That's how me and my brother joke, and it's so annoying, and I'm sorry again. Anyway, I think it's nice to look up to an actual person and to admire them not just for one thing that they're really good at, but the fact that they're able to do so many things. And I feel like that's such a modern take on being inspired by someone is like, you know, anyone can have a cool Instagram with cool photos, but like to do that and also be really good at other social media, but also be good at sports and also be good at like many things. Like, I feel like that's the future because social media is less of a like small group sort of thing. It's less of a like people in the ends thing and everyone. And when I say social media, I mean kind of like technology in general.
Ah, correct.
So yes. Just that idea of like, your like YouTube channel is cool where you have music, but also comedy. And you have all kinds of varying content and you're like just a general figurehead that people can like navigate to, like, you know, clicking on them or like clicking on their profile and knowing that you're going to be entertained in multifaceted ways. Like, that's a really, really great reason to look up to someone. David isn't very descriptive.
Well, that sucks for Kat because this is my podcast.
Well, it sucks for me because I have to do all the heavy lifting.
You're listening to Double Space.
Excuse me, I'm listening to what?
You're listening to Double Space.
Get out of here.
By Tintin and David.
Get out of here.
And with that, we will cut to some ads and PSAs. This is Double Space on CITR 101.9.
With Tintin and Kat.
And David.
The AIDS Vancouver helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland.
while not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us at AIDSVancouver.org.
Flashing thunderstorm.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
Welcome back to Double Space. This is Tintin, and I'm joined with Kat and David. Hello.
And just for the record, this is mine and Tintin's podcast, not David's.
Just making more work for yourself, Kat.
Well, as we were talking earlier, we got into this conversation about how, as a teenager, or a generation of teenager that you are in, David, rather, there's constant like bombardments with technology, which I feel like is more pronounced in contemporary like teenage culture right now as it was with Kat and my time in high school. Do you want to elaborate more about that?
Yeah, so I think technology is a much bigger part of our life. That's how we get through school. And if you do certain events or if you have after school stuff, it's usually online. So if you don't have anything, then you're screwed.
What kind of programs do they use? Like Facebook, Google Docs, etc.?
I think we've moved away from Facebook. Sometimes they do Instagram or they just text it.
That's something crazy that I heard. Our friend Hannah's little sister, Lily, who's also in high school, told me that apparently people don't use like Facebook in high school anymore. Like apparently no one has Facebook.
I've heard that.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so weird because I even grew up, I was not super into Facebook. So I kind of understand where they're coming from. But like now that I'm older, I check Facebook so often and I really make use of their like events thing. You know, mm-hmm. their events feature where you can find events easily and things like that. And I use it to like find events in my city and things. Yeah. And I feel like because my taste is a lot more refined now that I'm a bit older, it's harder for me to find specific events that I want to go to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to find, like, a show that, you know, has, like, local people that I am into or, like, a cool market, you know, like, whatever. And I find that Facebook is the easiest way to use it, but teens aren't using it.
That makes us old, Kat.
We're old.
Yeah. We're getting edged out. Phased out.
We're not edgy anymore. We're like, you know how it's like the old moms and like grandmas on Facebook are like cringy? Just being on Facebook is going to be cringy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
We're going to be Googled and they're going to be like, you had a Facebook? Oh, and it was active 5 days ago?
Oh, barf.
What?
Yeah, that's so true. But yeah, Instagram culture is like crazy with the youth.
Instagram's really intense. Can you imagine, you know those like classic, like, this is probably more targeted at you, Tintin, than to David, but there's that like whole, when I was 13, I looked like this, and it's some like nerdy 13-year-old with like a Goosebumps book or something. And then it's like, but teens nowadays look like this, and they have like, quote, eyebrows on fleek, unquote, and just like things like that.
Yeah, the thing is that I was that girl with the Goosebumps book. Mm-hmm. But the thing is because I didn't have like a social media site like Facebook or not Facebook, sorry, like Instagram where I could literally like access like Instagram like accounts of like people like Kylie Jenner that have like this like sick new hot eyebrow look or whatever. Instead, I just was, like, going through it, like, so blind, like, blindly navigating what it was that I liked and, like, the style that I wanted to kind of, like, cultivate. Like, I remember wearing so many graphic tees, just, like, colored skinny jeans, like, just cringe, like, central. It was just so bad. I feel like, I don't know, there's something to be said about having that experience, though, and then, like, looking back and being like, wow, like, I've really, like, grown into my own person. Whereas, like, if I didn't have that experience and I was just, like, eyebrows on fleek. Not to say that my eyebrows are, like, on fleek, quote-unquote, like, usually, but...
I'd say your eyebrows are on fleek at the moment, at least.
Thank you so much. Yeah. But, like, to be a 13-year-old and, like, to have that, I feel like kind of takes away from, like, that growing experience.
I feel like I have kind of felt the same side of each coin. Like, I feel like when I was in about 7th grade, I wore, like, Juicy and Abercrombie, like everything, because that's what the cool girls wore. You had to wear it. And so I wore it. And I just felt like it was kind of a waste. I didn't really feel like it fit. Like, it didn't feel like it was working for me, the whole like trying to live like that. Whereas like maybe in 8th grade I wore like a cardigan that didn't fit well and things like that. Like, my clothes didn't fit right, but I felt like they were more me. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe that's in praise of the awkward growing up than, you know, looking great all the time. But I'm biased.
Yeah.
David?
I think we have Lululemon that replaces that. Yeah.
How do you feel on growing up kind of awkwardly or just letting social media kind of wash over you and just looking good?
As I got made fun of, the trends, like when people follow, it's just such a hassle because they're changing a lot more, at least for my age.
That's a good point.
What would you say is on trend right now for like youth, the teens, so to speak?
How do we fit in?
All right, you're going to want to get some leggings from Lululemon and a North Face jacket.
Oh, but that's been, like, the thing for, like, years. Come on.
Yeah, David,
it still is.
That was from back when we were in, like, middle school.
Yeah.
brush off the dust, put it on, get on a dirt bike, and you're going to fit right in.
A dirt bike?
That's what all the cool kids do. They do photo shoots in their dirt bikes.
Okay, I'm going to call shenanigans on this one. I think David is talking out of his other end.
I'd like to call a fact check by Tintin.
I feel like I'm mediating this sibling interaction.
You really are.
I mean, to take this in jest, I've understood this Lululemon North Face jacket trend for many years, so I feel like this is slightly a lie because I feel like young people now wear different things that I have not seen or like am familiar with.
Yeah, I didn't know about Aritzia. Do young people
Aritzia's
wear that?
A Canadian thing though.
Is it?
It was made in like Vancouver.
Like in the States, right? Okay, well, anyway, let's scratch that. What's another hot new clothing brand? Because the whole idea of like brands is like age old. It's just like forever old. Like back in my day it was Abercrombie and Fitch and Hollister and Juicy and all the other like and above.
Mm.
But David, what are some hot brands? He's giving me a face like he does not know.
You'd be surprised to know I'm not really in with the girl clothing trends.
No, male clothing trends.
We don't really wear Lululemon. Oh, Nike.
Thanks for the update. Nike's hot.
Well, athletic shorts. Basketball.
Take notes.
You know, we're going to go back because we're going to be kicking Kat out real soon. She's been a nuisance.
David, you're literally not providing us anything.
He's going to be such a bitch to edit. actually, this is interesting because I actually enjoy like reading about trends on my spare time just to like see what it's like. But right now, like athletic wear is like getting like this resurgence of like popularity. So like people are wearing like track pants, but like fashion track pants, like fashion, not like I'm going to wear these like gross like sweatpants. It's like, no, this is like high fashion now.
Wait, sweatpants?
Yeah, like track pants. Have you seen people wear, what's it called? Like the Adidas ones with like the wide leg.
Oh, I have.
It's like sensual.
And guess what?
Do you own them?
I'm part of that.
No, like that's like a trendy thing. I think like I don't know if that's like youth culture, if that's just like a specific.
Oh,
I see.
I feel like it's too old for youth culture. But since we brought it up, I would just like to say that it is the best move for a night out, because here's the thing: you're comfortable all night. There's no sort of like tension on your stomach or any uncomfortable part of your legs or anything. You're free. You're free forming. You can dance. Get down, girl.
But you look ugly.
No, you don't. You look cool, David. What do you know?
I am a teen that doesn't use Facebook.
This
so
is it.
So I am pretty in with it.
Oh.
Low blow.
Ouch. Oh, yes.
Okay, Tintin.
Thoughts on what?
Just something else.
Well, I was going to talk more about, like, technology, to be honest. And I was going to...
Yes.
Because you were talking about, like, the iPads in your school and, like, how there's 500 of them.
Oh, yeah. So we get a lot of misuse through Instagram, Snapchat, and games especially.
It's funny because I went to the same high school that David currently goes to, because we are from the same city, because we're siblings. And I was in one of the first years before, I think, they started the whole iPad program. So David and I are 5 years apart. So, yeah, when I graduated, it was still going on. And it was still in, like, a new thing. But, yeah, I mean, that was happening at the same time, too. People were still Snapchatting and Instagramming while I had them as well. Yeah. It was just a generally very bad investment, in my opinion, of the school. Because they're not... iPads, you can't write a paper on them. You can't really take notes on them comfortably. So the only thing you can do comfortably with them is go on Snapchat. What do you think, David?
Yeah, also, they get outdated real quickly, and then they're just useless, except for games.
The games will live on. Thinking about technology as a youth reminds me of technology when I was a youth. But we didn't have nice things like iPads, even if they're, like, kind of just for games. I remember having, like, an iPod Video, like the square one. that was colored. Mine was green.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's like a blast from the past. But I remember having like music videos on my iPod. Like, do you remember like when music videos were like a big thing? Like,
yeah, I do.
And like, I just don't know if anyone watches them anymore. I still enjoy them, to be honest, but.
Do you remember VH1? I used to only be, so I loved the music video thing that they did on VH1. They always like showcase some music videos, and it's part of MTV, VH1. It's like a different channel, but part of MTV. My mom would only let me watch the music because she was like, I don't know how you found out about this, but I can't take this away from you. So only that, nothing more. Mm. And so I would start every morning watching a bunch of music videos. And I think something about music videos at the time was there was so much product placement.
Yeah, that was a really big thing. And it was always like, it was either super obvious or like, I remember like it was like subliminal. Like the point of it was either for it to be like, oh, like look at me, I'm holding this like Beats by Dr. Dre like headphone, or it would be like some girl in the background is like drinking like a Coke, and like you can like barely see the Coke logo, but you're like, oh, like I know that's like a Coke or whatever.
Yeah, but it's there. It was pretty innocuous and strange.
Yeah.
I was rewatching some Lady Gaga music videos.
Always a good thing to do.
Yeah, I was rewatching Bad Romance, and it was everywhere. Even then. Yeah.
See, it's, like, really interesting because, like, music videos were so, like, pervasive in our culture. Like, I remember, like, talking about music videos with my friends. And, like, have you seen that music video? Or, like, oh, my God, like, what? Like, also Lady Gaga was, like, a big thing because, like, she was, like, not to say that she's, like, the weird one because, like, she did a lot of things that, like, Madonna kind of, like, she emulated Madonna in a lot of ways. But, like, I remember being, like, she's so crazy. Like, do you remember what, like, at the MTV, like, Music Video Awards when she was, like, you know, like, that kind of culture? I feel like it was just so pure.
Yeah. We were just shocked very easily. But on the subject of music videos, I remember I watched Shut Up and Drive by Rihanna, and I was like, oh, whoa, this is a little intense.
Saucy.
I also remember Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend music video.
I hated that music video.
I was so confused and, like, intrigued.
Did she play like, two characters?
I was like, there's so many bright colors and there's like such a strange like thing going on between like Avril and him and the other Avril. Like she's like stealing his, like she's mad at his girlfriend for being with him.
Kind of messed up.
It was just, the whole thing really perplexed me, and I liked thinking about it because I was like, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. What's going on, Avril?
Definitely a confusing music video. Mm-hmm. Also, something to think about is just, like, things that when you were a kid, you didn't realize were kind of messed up, but then later in life you did, vis-a-vis 500 Days of Summer and Girlfriend music video.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, you are smart enough to know when things are obviously messed up, but there's so many, like, subtly messed up things that you really come in, that really see the light of day when you're older. Another very crucial part of our growing up, Tintin, was the internet was just a fledgling idea. And I think that's what separates our generation from David's generation, is that we were the, like, the internet is, like, suddenly, like, being seen as a very useful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly is, like, okay, but how do we use it? And then with David, it's a little more fleshed out.
Yeah, it's true, because we grew up in a time when, like, we've always had internet. Like, I can't remember a time when I haven't had access to it, or, like, it wasn't a thing for me. But when it was a thing at the very beginning of my using the internet, it was, like, Flash videos, YouTube was, like, just happening. Not just happening, but, like, it was still, like, kind of, you know, like, she's working on it. And I'm just trying to think of, like, other things that I did when I was, like, you know, like, 13 or something.
There was also so many pop-up ads and so many ads of, like, cool, like, mouse arrows.
Oh, my God.
You can get this, like, sparkly.
I totally remember that.
And the one that gives you, like, a trail of like smiley faces or whatever,
which will totally never get annoying,
and just like, and it was obviously just like, could not be more blatant, some sort of like horrible malware.
Yeah,
but like, oh, just so pervasive.
You just want to live the dream and have like the really fun cursor.
It looks so fun. Someone was telling me about someone that just did it. They were young and they just, apparently nothing bad happened that they noticed. I think the computer started running really slow, so probably something bad was going on, but they just did it.
Yeah.
Imagine having that courage.
Well, you just, I feel like now people are more aware of the fact that like things like that can give you a virus or whatever, but like back then you just were like navigating through the internet and pretty much just life in general completely blindsided.
Mm-hmm. So you're just like, sure, I'll click on this.
Yeah, sure, I'll just get a smiley face cursor, of course.
Like, yeah, look at all my files, I don't care.
Yeah. But, like, just talking about Y2K culture in general, it calls to mind the poor taste of the early 2000s. I'm talking Ed Hardy, Von Dutch trucker hats. I'm talking, what else? Like, fake spray tans.
Yeah. Apple bottom jeans.
Boots with the fur.
Boots with the fur.
And the whole club is looking at her. But like, for real, that's just what I associate like early internet with, is just like Paris Hilton.
Like juicy velour tracksuits.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, a look.
Bright pink.
Yeah. And it's just, it comes, I don't know, it's interesting because like, yeah, as someone who uses Instagram and, like, these more refined, like, mediums of social media now, just, like, if we had Instagram when I was, like, 12 or, like, 13, would I even use it, like, in the same way? Probably not.
I don't think so, just because the app has really shifted so much over time. Mm. Like, I might have used it if I was more into, like, technology. As a kid, I wasn't super into technology in general, but if I was more into technology, I don't know. It would have been a faster growth period, I guess, to where I'm at now. Like, I would know so much more. And I find that people who are on Instagram the longest have, like, the most followers, you know? Mm. It's a weird thing. Instagram is weird. But it's, like, also becoming, like, the top app. What do you think, David?
Sorry.
Well, as you were mentioning before, the algorithms kind of force people to use it.
Mm-hmm. The explore page is probably the greatest time sink known to man.
Yeah, what David was saying, because it literally made no sense to anyone that wasn't
back
in
off,
this room.
Producer.
Get out. So he was talking about Instagram has this algorithm that's basically directly related to engagement. So the more that you engage with content and the app itself and comment and like, the more that you're going to show up on the explore page, the more that you're going to be noticed, the more that you're going to get likes and followers. And so basically success on the app is directly tied to usage. So it's addictive and feedback loopy.
We're going to cut to one more song. Let's do it.
Yeah.
On Double Space, CITR 101.9 FM. Something is coming this way. If you need to think it over, the truck is moving slow. High power out the lights.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smokey every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
The youth.
Ah, yes.
They grow, and thus, in their space of once being young, they become older, but not completely older, just a little bit older.
It's cool that we have this perspective of, like, just, well, I would still consider myself, like, young. I would hope so. I'm pretty young and pretty spry, but I think I'm also, like, aware enough to, like, criticize and interpret, like, what high school kids are doing and stuff.
I think so, too.
Yeah. It's neat to have reflective periods like this.
I really like where I'm at right now as a young adult. I'm having fun with it, you know?
Yeah. Live your life.
But I really do love thinking back on teenage years, and it's so easy to really, like, just, like, think of them fondly. But they're just such a moment of just feelings, and everything is so intense. But I kind of love that, and that just being so sensitive to the world is really beautiful, and it's so beautiful to have someone so sensitive to the world with us.
Can you please stop using so many pronouns?
And a goodbye to our guest, David. Thanks for being on.
I should thank you for being a guest on my podcast.
Okay, bye. That was your last statement on this podcast, and you choose to say that. I'm just leaving it that.
Oh, wait.
No.
I don't know if I could say. Thank you, Tintin. We're done. It's a wrap.
Go ahead. Thank you, David, for bringing your hot youth culture and perspective onto this show. This has been Double Space, and I am Tintin, and this is...
And I'm Kat. And be sure to tune in Wednesdays at 5. We're also on Instagram, Double Space Show. We're on SoundCloud. Just Google Double Space. Look for us. We don't have a profile picture yet. We're in Canada. We also have a website, doublespaceshow.wordpress.com. And if you just want to find us, go to citr.ca /doublespace. Listen to us there.
Wow, so many avenues to find us.
We're also on Twitter, but whatever, that's a cesspool.
And on that note,